sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm John.
What?
I forgot where this movie takes place,
what?
But I'm doing an accent for it. It was good, right?
Yeah, it was good.
Long fingers. No, I don't know. That'll make sense later, I hope. I hope we explain why I said that.
I don't think anything makes sense in this movie, but all right.
It's a salad fingers, except they made it.
From you, me, and everyone we know, the multiverse with the salad hands.
Yes.
And welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing Possum. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. They give it first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John,
when we tell you if Possum is awesome. If it is awesome possum, or if it is nosum, which is not awesome.
Thank you. If you want to hear that or anything else from us, follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. Let's just get right into it. I feel like we have a lot to say and nothing to say at the same time. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Drum roll, please.
Yes. Coming in at number 3 for Possum. Poor guy, always a puppet. Coming in at number 2 for Possum. Guy visits his favorite uncle. It's kind of fucked up, sorry. And coming in at number 1 for Possum. For Pete's sake, get raped.
Yeah, just big spoiler right up front. There's no fucking possum in this movie. There, I said it. Let's get that out of the air right now.
Basically talking about a fox that played possum. Does it twice
in the movie. Like you described earlier, this movie is slow,
it's
metaphoric,
slow. It's
weird like, yeah. For the sake of being weird. Art house to the nth degree, I would argue. And when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, yeah, like the visuals look cool. I like the actor. I like Sean Harris. He's a good actor. And so I was like, OK, well, this looks kind of interesting. Kind of reminded me of Kornberg's movie Spider. Did you ever see that with Ray Fiennes? Was it Ray Fiennes, I believe? Sort of the same movie, dude. I haven't seen that movie in like a gazillion years, but it's almost the same fucking movie. Like it's just having, it's this weird guy who has a weird haircut, who's going through this meditation or construction of his life. He's fucked up.
He's having like a
weird
sort of
life.
Yeah. Psyche break in his midlife. I gotta say straight off the bat, I don't think this movie's bad at all. But like you said, it's got a Cronenberg feel to it, specifically Spider. And it's, I don't think going to be palatable for most people.
If you love depressing movies and you just love to just sit in them and revel in them.
It's tough for me not to just go into this one spoiler, but if you sit and think about what happens at the end of the movie, it is not a good ending for the guy, for
no.
The main guy. I think it's going to stay bad. Like I was like, man, that sucks.
It's very
so sad.
Bleak look at human behavior and how we treat each other and how we ruin each other's lives as people make conscious decisions to ruin each other's lives. It's one of those movies. Yeah.
Just like a more extreme idea of it. Right. But like, yeah, it's very accurate to what you're saying.
And would really hit it home. Well, here's where I get fucked up, because you know who directed this, right? Go look up who directed this if you don't know.
Oh, wait, no. I think I suggested it because of that. Well, what's his name?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I whatever reason, didn't put it together.
Yeah, I know him from, what's the name of that show? Oh, Garth Marenghi's.
Yes,
yeah.
Which is a brilliant comedy spoofing almost this sort of thing. So I don't know if this is where I got fucked up, because you did actually say that, but I don't think I put the pieces together when you mentioned who directed this. So when I was watching this movie, I was like, this movie I thought to myself, this movie has like every bad cliche in terms of like first time filmmaker making like a self-important movie about dark shit and
interesting locations that nobody goes to near where you live on the boot.
Right.
That's just what you do in Texas.
It just seemed like very like
the salt flats.
Self-serious first time filmmaker. And I was like, and I couldn't believe that they got Sean Harris and they got the other actor in this who's also incredibly good too. Olin Armstrong. Like, these are great actors. You see them in a lot of like British stuff and they're always excellent in what they character actors you see. And I was just like, how did this person get this cast?
Because Olin Armstrong, for me personally, I'm always going to be like, he's one of my favorites because I'm a huge fan of Kroll.
Right, yeah.
Kroll.
And I was like, okay, so I was thinking to myself, like, this first time filmmaker got Sean Harris, Olin Armstrong. These are like good actors. It's like, what is his connection? What is his in? Because like, who would give him money for this? There's just not a movie that like is one of those movies that's going to turn profits. It's like, how did this movie get made? No. I know that in Europe, England, their system is different, right? Because they have to run everything through, I imagine, the BBC. They have like their own thing, right? So I thought it's a very different system than it set up here in America. So I look it up and I fucking see that it's Matthew Holiness from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Yeah. And I felt like, maybe I've been looking at this movie all wrong. I almost wanted to restart it and think that maybe this is like a parody, funny.
But I don't know if you can see the humor in any of it. It's just like very depressing, very eerie.
Yeah.
Like this puppet, you don't see what it looks like for, I say like 15, 20 minutes.
Right, yeah.
And then when you finally see it, you're like, oh, it's a fucking mold of Sean Harris's head.
Right.
With realistic eyeballs, and it's like I don't like this.
Right, yeah. And and I think further to the point, like, if nobody's seen Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, it's literally, he's supposed to be this sort of vain writer, terrible writer, you know, of like dark subject matter or whatever. And then there's like a show within a show where you have like all these really funny people, classic funny people in it.
Like Richard Iotti and
Matt Berry. Just like top tier comedians, right? There's this. As soon as I saw that clip of their different like musical moments in this movie or the show, I was like, I have to watch this. This was several years ago where I was like, when I saw Richard Iotti do like his rap or like Matt Berry, singing. I was like, oh my god, I gotta watch this show. And when I finally did, I loved it. So that's where I was like fucked up. I was like, man, is this like, and they play it so straight, so I'm thinking like, maybe this is like a joke that I'm not in on, or like, is this like a real thing he's trying to do in character, or like, you know, breaking walls, fourth walls and stuff. But I don't know enough. I mean, I told all intents and purposes, I think that this is like his legitimate attempt at trying to make a movie. That's all I can gather from it.
Cause it wasn't funny at all. It was just like,
right.
It's slow, but instead of being bored, most of the time I was just kind of like, this is depressing.
Right.
It's just like intentionally sad.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know enough about, cause literally if you look at this guy's like other things he's directed, cause clearly he's an actor and he's been in a ton of comedy things. So everything aside from this one movie he made in 2018, I don't think this is his last directing credit. So everything else other than that has been like comedy. So as far as I could tell, so I'm baffled about this movie. Like, I didn't know how to accept or you know, feel about this movie anymore.
Yeah. I was going to say, when did Barbarian come out? That was post 2020,
yes.
Right? Yeah. Okay. I was trying to think of like 2018, 2019 movies where comedians were trying to like get into serious films. I don't know. Yeah, it's super art house yet. I don't know what else to say. It's like, God, like everything's got like a green color correction to it. Like blues.
Well, I feel like everything is muted. Like the whole color palette is like extremely muted. And it just has this very kind of drab, very like, I mean, I don't know how to explicitly like describe it other than just it's a very like tedious kind of movie to get into, I guess, right? I mean,
yeah, because you really have to work to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not like there's scares, it's just like you're just getting creeped out.
Yeah,
and then
I would say it's a thriller, yeah. Right? All intents and purposes, is a thriller. I guess.
Yeah.
Besides a drama, but yeah, like I mean, that's to me, that's like there's great cinematography, which is what I immediately noticed when I saw the trailers. Like it's good cinematography, it's good stuff, but like because like so much of the color's muted and so many of the performances are so subtle, quiet. It kind of like, and then it's laid, it's this, the whole thing is like layered over with like eerie music, subtle eerie music and stuff. It's just like, it was a hard movie to kind of like get into for that reason, you know?
Which I was curious about these composers. I think it's like a team, the Radiophonic Workshop.
Okay.
Which allegedly they've been doing stuff since the late 60s.
Okay. That checks out.
So that's like another thing. Like, how did this guy get this guy?
Right,
because
like,
or whoever this team this, is. This, yeah. They do a lot of Doctor Who stuff, I guess.
Yeah, yep. I think I read it in the director's credits. He was in a Doctor Who thing. But I mean, what actor hasn't been in a Doctor Who thing, right? I mean, it's kind of a rite of passage to be in it. I don't know. I will say, yeah, like you said, the ending's kind of very sad, but kind of like. Looping back to like the beginning of this movie, we're definitely set up in some traumatizing shit happened to Mark Harris's character. He was like a puppeteer.
You know what? With you saying that, there is something that did bug me about the movie was like the way it's presented, the way the movie is like art house being cut together and like mm-hmm. the imagery, because there's like imagery that's cut spliced in between mm-hmm. scenes. It just keeps you guessing what's real or what's not. Like I thought his Uncle Maurice was maybe not there, just like a figment of his imagination for some reason.
Right. I thought the same thing too about halfway through the movie. Yeah, that the way it's
like, oh, maybe he's not there.
Yeah, because I guess these like sets are so good they don't look real. Like there's no reality here, right? It all feels like nightmarish, dreamy, otherworldly kind of existence, right? Because of how it was shot and everything. And anytime they have an interaction, it's like, and plus it's like, and all intents and purposes, this is like just two people acting, right? There's really not a ton of other characters. It's the main focus is the Mark Harris's character, the uncle, and Sean Harris's Sean character. Harris, yeah. So, I mean, also I kind of like, I don't know. I just, in terms of like how metaphoric this is, he's like literally carrying baggage throughout the movie.
Literally carrying baggage, which is some puppet, I guess he made, and he wrote his own little storybook and illustrated the book himself. Right. And his uncle like took it from his bag and was reading this story, which is narrated at the beginning of each act.
Sort,
right?
Yeah, kind of. Sort of.
Like it reads a couple more pages each time. So that's another reason I was like, okay, is this guy just having like a mental breakdown and it's this, none of this is happening? Or?
Yeah. I just felt like that metaphor was like really hammered home. Right. And then like
we get the puppet, which is very caveat mm-hmm. style. Like, is this thing actually moving on its own or is it just,
what he kept wake like he sleeps a lot in this movie, right? So he kept like waking up and the puppets were surrounding him. And then he has all this baggage he carries around that he tries to get rid of. It's like, oh my God. Like, I mean, it's all there. All the heavy-handedness is fucking there on display, which is why it's tedious, because it's not subtle. It's not insightful. It's not like it doesn't attempt to be anything other than this huge, easy metaphor to kind of immediately get. Like as soon as he's carrying the bag everywhere and he wants to get rid of it, I was like, okay, I know what's going on. Like this is this is happening. I think it's kind of funny that he's a disgraced puppeteer, which is how they describe him in the IMDb summary. Disgraced puppeteer.
Yeah, what
on earth could he have done?
You don't even get that, because it's just like, yeah, casual conversation where it's kind of thrown away that he scared kids with his thing or whatever. I was like, okay, are we gonna get into that? Like, no. I think because he was trying to present the story that's being read throughout the thing, and it's like a really dark It's my partner made a joke about like this is just like related to the grabber from the Black Phone, I guess.
How so?
Because it's a story about a guy that runs around and steals kids and puts them in a bag and runs away.
Right, right, right. At the very very essence of it. I just can't get over the fact that disgraced puppeteer is forced to confront his stepfather and the secrets that have tortured him his entire life. I want to see a prequel of just that, right? Of just him puppeteering a la...
Yeah. And for the first time, like, maybe there should be more conversations or...
That's such an unusual way to just... That's such an unusual... Like, in other words, like, what I'm laughing at is, like, it's such an unusual way to describe somebody, a puppeteer, disgraced. Usually you get, like, disgraced politician or disgraced police officer. Instead, you get disgraced child puppeteer.
It's a this fallen from grace puppeteer.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess he went all in on this career of his, and so he was like didn't really have a job or anything else to do.
Because he's an awkward guy, I guess. I mean, rightfully so. You understand why he's so weird. Also, Sean Harris does like a great like his. Body language, right, like, his delivery, he's fantastic.
So
he's
good.
Frowning the entire
movie.
Yeah,
he's
movie.
So good. Yeah. He's such a great actor, which I, you know, which I thought would be, I mean, like I said, like, I kind of going into this, I kind of assumed this would be like art housey, but I figured Sean Harris is such a great actor that like, it would be fine because he's going to commit and it's going to be good all the way through. I don't know. It's just, everything else around it is just kind of like what he wants us to tell us this thing about this guy who's had a terrible life, but I don't think it's particularly original, and it's not the twist. The twist before we get, you know, I don't want to get into spoilers yet, but like the twist is kind of like unsuspecting, but not unsuspecting either. Based on
because I thought I had a different theory as to what was going on in the movie, and then it wasn't what I thought. I mean, it was this is gonna sound shitty, but it was way more simplistic than I gave it credit for, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Like, does that make sense? Like the way everything gets resolved, I was like, oh, okay. Like that's like the first thing I would think to write, and then try to evolve it from there. Does that make
sense?
Yeah,
that does.
Like,
I know what you mean. Yeah. I don't know if it's a spoiler to say what's in the bag. Oh, no, you said it was in the bag. It's like a spider with a...
Spider thing. I think the thing that's a spoiler is like you 20 minutes into the movie, then you see that it's kind of Sean Harris's
right
of his head.
Yeah, and that... Yeah. And he's trying to get rid of it. And he's had weird interactions with teenagers. And then the teenagers go missing. Yeah. So then... And they do... before no spoilers, but they desperately are trying to subvert that idea or connection, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty hard, heavy-handed, yeah. Yeah, what else do you want to say about this art house thing? It's like, you can talk about the imagery. There's like, you see an image of balloons getting engulfed in black smoke several times.
Yeah.
Which isn't fully explained. I understand what it's kind of saying, because they talk about there was a fire in the house, and our main guy tells Maurice, his uncle, like, how come it wasn't you that got burnt up in the fire or something like that? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, these are horrible things that are happening to this guy, but it's kind of funny. Yeah. It's kind of funny how like shitty this guy's life is. I don't know. I don't know. I like I said, this movie did not work for me on an emotional level.
It's like he had a horrible, horrible upbringing and a horrible experience living there, and then he goes back. I was like, all right.
What's the idea that his life will get better? My life's going to turn around if I go back to the horrible, awful place.
I need closure in like the worst place I've ever been. Yeah. You want to get into spoilers?
Okay, that's fine. I don't know where else to go with this movie. Yeah. Let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Cause we're about to go into
spoilers. So like, yeah, because you don't get anything you don't truly get enough out of this movie until the last like 10 minutes. Then you're like, okay, that explains everything. But wow, it was a journey to get to this point. It was a struggle. Cause then you're like, okay, Maurice Lankwell is real.
Right. Very real.
I guess his parents burnt up in a fire.
Naturally.
And his uncle, which I had already suspected, was the guy that was kidnapping all the kids. Right. And
so that's kind of like the big twist. It isn't actually our main character. It's actually the uncle who's been doing all these things. And he's been kind of like perpetually been this awful person in this guy's life. And I don't know.
So I thought that the uncle wasn't there. I thought the uncle died, and that Philip just became the embodiment of what the uncle was doing and continued the thing without realizing
that it would have been like interesting.
He used the puppet as like that. He thinks the puppet's doing everything, but it's him. But no, but the puppet's spider legs with the mold of his head, I guess, is a direct relation to like his uncle would rape his mouth with his long fingers was the thing. So I think the fingers were like the spider legs in his head, which that part I was like, that was effective. Actually, I was like, man, it's fucking gross.
Right.
It's like too much to watch.
Right. And then he like told them to like, basically like he had them to where the uncle would like have them be quiet, which is why we see like, dead animals or whatever, right. To stay quiet, like a possum, or stay quiet, like a fox. There's like this constant imagery of like foxes and shit. Yeah. And, that was part of,
because the uncle's way older, right? Like way older. He attacks Sean Harris or Philip. And Philip, like you said, just plays possum basically because he's so terrified and can't fight back. And then I guess he gets his closure. And what makes this ending extra sad is they are looking for Philip instead of Maurice because they assume Philip, because they saw Philip near the kid last that got abducted.
Right. Yeah, has this.
And Maurice is like, they're looking for you, not me. I'm going to leave and they're going to pin it on you. And he kills his uncle, so they're probably still going to pin it on him. Like, I think his life is still fucked.
Right. Either way. But I mean, I think when the schoolboy that's captive escapes, right? So he presumably would tell them the truth of what happened. So there is that.
If the schoolboy knows what actually did happen, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, they make it assume, the assumption is like Maurice would come out of nowhere and just stuff kids in a bag and run away. This old guy was able to nab this teenage kid, but whatever.
That's the movie.
That's the movie. Again, I can't say it's a bad movie, but man, it's like a chore.
Yeah, I didn't like this movie. I mean, I can appreciate certain aspects of the filmmaking, right? I think is what you're saying too. But no, I didn't enjoy this movie whatsoever. I thought, and I was thoroughly confused as to how I'm supposed to feel about this movie. Right. But I mean, I think this popped up and I think you sent it to me, as one of the scariest movies, unseen scariest movies.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say it's scary at all.
Right.
I mean, it's fucked up to a certain extent and like a very human response, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Scary. And I think that's where like, for me, like when these lists pop up, I'm always incredibly like, skeptical, right? Because it's like, if it really is like scary, I feel like I would have heard about it. Not to sound egotistical, but I mean, I feel like I'm familiar with movies and know a lot about film history and releases and stuff. And so do you, John, you know? But so like I feel like just organically we would have heard about these movies throughout the years. So yeah. I'm always skeptical of this and stuff.
Going into it, I had high expectations because of who directed and wrote it.
Right.
And it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was.
Yeah. Like for me, it's like if I hear, a movie's good, I try to do like just Google searches or researches and just see if like who made it, who's in it, what is it about, you know? And yeah, because I guess what I'm saying is like so many people put out these lists like, oh, you ever heard of this? And it's just like content. They try to like fill out content and stuff like that. Like top 10 scariest movies nobody's seen or this or that. And it just seems like one of these movies that like nobody saw and it's for good reason. Nobody saw this movie.
Yeah, it's not. It's fine. It's not.
And it's always like this rewriting of history. I think people are like, you know, I'm sure you've witnessed this, right? We're like, when movies come out, there's a certain opinion that's firm. And then a couple of years pass and suddenly somebody writes something and then it changes. And then suddenly the prequels were good. Oh, Prometheus was good. And so it's just like this. I thought we all agreed that the prequels were terrible and Prometheus sucked. And and then there's just like this rewriting of history, you know. I don't know. Do you get a sense of that, or like?
Yeah, a little bit. I see what you're saying. I will say though, like, I've come around with Prometheus and like just accepting it, because you can't fight what the new Alien movies are going to be anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It is what it is. but I did not enjoy how they try to, in that movie, rewrite how aliens came about, or like humans and whatever.
Oh, yeah, like this new wrinkle of.
But I see what you're saying. Yeah, like, what's a really good example of? I was like, no, that movie sucked, didn't it? I didn't think the movie sucked, but I don't understand the obsession with Nosferatu, the current one.
Yeah, I agree. I was pretty lukewarm on it. Though I enjoyed it. I mean, it's fine. I enjoyed it, but it.
Yeah.
But we don't. Fine, I guess what you're saying is like we don't understand the like the rabid fever obsession with this movie, right? That people portray.
Yeah. Like a flavor of the week, and then they forget about it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, on all intents and purposes, like, I can't. Robert Eggers is a great filmmaker, right? I mean, his production design, the way he, you know, sets these movies always feels real and authentic, and like he goes to great detail, great details in all his movies.
Still not my favorite director, but yeah, he does a lot of
work. And he kind of like sets his stuff like in the past a lot of the time. So he goes, it seems like he takes a lot of pains to be accurate with his portrayals of that time or inspired by the movies. Like, for instance, like Nosferatu, that there's more in common with like the 70s version of it than the original, whatever, 20s version of it, right? There's less to do with, has more to do with like romanticism as a concept, as opposed to like horror German expressionism that was in Nosferatu. I think that's where people get tripped up with. They think he's referencing German expressionism, but German expressionism is like surrealist. It's like big crazy buildings. It's like this other like world thing, and romanticism is more grounded.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yes. Somebody was like angrily trying to defend the film, like, no, it's German expressionism, you don't get it. I'm like, I don't think you get it. I don't think you understand what
he
that
said
is.
That he's better, he's the best German expressionist. I'm like, okay. Yeah,
there's no German expression,
because everybody has to be best and worst, right? Everybody has to win and lose, right? Yeah, yeah. I don't know, it's a weird place. I think that goes without saying.
Which leads us to why we decided to watch this movie, because the internet was like, it's a scary movie. I'm like, it's not.
It's not, yeah. Unfortunately, it wasn't, yeah. Okay, cool.
But maybe if you've never experienced a film like this, I don't know, maybe it could be scary to somebody.
You know what?
It's kind of like if people have never seen Session 9 before and you try to show them to them, like, this is kind of slow. And then by the end of the movie, like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Right. That movie that was a random rent I didn't know anything about, and fucking had the best time with
it. Back when you still rented DVDs, right, and shit, right? And you're just like, what's this?
And it was fucking great. I was like, surprised. I mean, you look at the poster, it's very generic, right? It's a chair and there's like maybe a ghostly figure with the letter Session 9.
I don't think I would have watched The Machinist if I hadn't seen that movie. I was like, oh, I gotta watch it.
Exactly. Yeah. And Brad Anderson became one of my favorite filmmakers after that. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. Here's the other thing. Like, here's something that real quick, I'll add to what you're saying, is that everybody who picks up a comic, that's going to be everybody's comic book. If we're talking about comic books, that's somebody's first comic, right? Because there's so many of them, and everybody's picking up something, and that's everybody's favorite, which I think kind of ties to what you're saying, is like, if somebody were to coldly see this and is, impressioned by like movies and wants to know more about movies and stuff, I could totally see somebody like really latching on to this and getting more out of it than we did, obviously, right? But I don't know, it's just like
because to be fair, it is kind of a paint by numbers art house film, and I think if people haven't been introduced to art house films, they'll be like, wow, this is unique,
right?
Just fair. I'm like, yeah, sure.
I guess that's the, in a way, that it's kind of nice that everybody's movie is going to be somebody's favorite movie, right? There's people who love 13 Ghost. They think that's their scariest movie they've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's tied to some.
It is great. It's not scary, but it's great.
But it's probably tied to some early childhood thing. Like for me, like being traumatized early on by watching the It TV series, right? That traumatized me as a kid.
Yeah.
Like so many people. There's a lot of instances where like you see a movie too young and then like you're influenced by it. So I don't know.
Which explains why people like Salem's Lot.
People, yeah. Alrighty. We were kind of rambling on there at the end, but let's rate the movie. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
After what we just talked about at the end, I'm going to give Possum 5 sexy spooky bones.
Wow.
If this is your first comic,
this is your first art house movie, baby's first art house movie, yes, congratulations.
Yeah. Why not?
Drink it up.
Congratulations. Watch it. Yeah. It's not my favorite movie. I didn't say it was bad. It wasn't bad. It was fine. Right. But it was like, I'd have no desire
fair,
to watch
fair,
it.
Fair, fair. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3. I didn't like this movie at all. And frankly, I was totally didn't know how to feel about this movie. so maybe that's my fault for picking up my phone while watching movies and checking directors and stuff. You know, that's clearly on my shoulders, that my burden to bear there. Alrighty. All right, guys, guys, no binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. That's not. That's not okay, bye.